on this trade deadline special edition of Baseball Barbecast. You hear the final 30 minutes before this year's trade deadline and go for a while after that deadline passes. We recap all the biggest deals, the winners and losers. And yes, Tarek Skubal is indeed on the Dodgers now. And somehow that was not the deal that shocked us the most. All that and more on this episode of Baseball Barbercast.
Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbercast, the only baseball podcast in the world with enough trades to last all day long. I am Jake Mintz, that's Jordan Schusterman, and you are watching our live deadline show. The MLB trade deadline is 30 minutes away. We've had a flurry of trades here today on deadline day. Tarek Skubal now on the Dodgers. There's a whole lot to get to. We're going to do all of that and a lot more. Jordan.
Here we are. We're in the same room.
Yep.
We're in New York City in the Yahoo Studios. Look, we're going to shake hands. So you know for sure this is not like we're green screening in or however technology would allow us to do so. This is legit. We're doing it. And the trade deadline's in 30 minutes. And I think to set the stage, obviously plenty has actually happened. But because teams still technically have time to make moves and we are impatient and also still looking around at who hasn't, what are we waiting on? Is there still things, are there still things that haven't happened yet that need to happen, or at least what we assume would need to happen before the deadline?
Sure. And like, we'll get to Adley, we'll get to Luis Arraez, a bunch of the other deals that have gone down already today. But the teams that have to do stuff that haven't quite done stuff yet, and the players that need to move that haven't been moved, what is going to happen between right now and the buzzer going off at 6 o'clock? The Mets need to move Luis Robert.
Seems like it. They've already traded almost all of their other rentals, if not all of them by now. It took a little while to get Clay Holmes and Tyrone Taylor, but they've been busy. Luis Robert is someone who you could imagine some team talking themselves into. So that's one I'm definitely interested in. And then Foster Griffin, all-star pitcher with the Nationals and pending free agent. The Nationals have already traded away some pieces. If they are willing to not try their hardest to win in 2026, I feel like Foster Griffin should be on another team.
Another team to keep an eye on as we move closer to the deadline is the Toronto Blue Jays. They have already traded a number of different players. Dalton Varsho on an expiring deal. Kevin Gausman also on an expiring deal. They have yet to trade George Springer. They have yet to trade Shane Bieber. They have yet to trade Max Scherzer. Could we see those guys moving before 6 p.m.? Casey Mize of the Tigers, a name to watch.
Yeah.
Trevor Rogers on the Baltimore Orioles, who have adopted a very sell-heavy posture so far today. The Reds have done very little. And then when you look at the teams that like still have business to conduct, I know the Arizona Diamondbacks are not stealing headlines, but they have been sleepier than any other organization today.
They are. Oh, we're getting breaking news on Mr. Foster Griffin. Where is Foster Griffin going? The Cleveland Guardians. Cleveland Guardians. Okay. Well, as I'm the one that lives in Northeast Ohio, so I guess I should have some comments ready for that. How about that? From D.C. to Cleveland. Okay, well, I'm curious for the return on that. So we'll get back to Foster Griffin in a second. But I did want to say, like, the teams that we're waiting on, you mentioned Arizona. They're literally the only team that has not made a single trade since the All-Star break. Everyone else has at least done a little something here and there. Not everyone has done a blockbuster. But Arizona, they're right in the mix there. And also relevant to the Nationals, because that next tier of NL contenders who are at least trying to make that third wildcard spot behind the Phillies, likely the Phillies and Cubs. I think that Arizona, sure. Washington, Miami, like those are teams. What are they
going to do? Let's get to this Foster Griffin trade.
Sure.
We don't have the return yet. Griffin, like you mentioned, an all-star headed from DC to Cleveland. Griffin was pitching in Japan for three seasons.
Yeah.
Before this year, the Nats signed him to a one-year deal out of Japan. He has been excellent. 7-8 pitch mix. There's a pitch on this planet, Foster Griffin throws it. He's not just the kitchen sink. He's the one in the bathroom too. And he's headed to Cleveland, a team that surprisingly needs starting pitching more than you'd expect. They made this incredible run last season.
Yes.
The Guardians did down the stretch to chase down the Tigers and sneak into October behind the strength of their pitching staff.
Yep.
But it's been a little bit weaker in 2026.
I mean, not really. I mean, kind of. But they are top 10 in ERA, top 10 in WHIP among starting pitchers. What is so incredible about the Guardians is that until a couple weeks ago, they had used the same five starters. I think they'd used the same five starters until they had a doubleheader. So it wasn't even like an injury. And those five starters have been Parker Messick, also an all-star and a rookie. Gavin Williams, who has some of the best stuff in baseball and just has struck out 10-plus in five straight outings. But then the other three, Tanner Bibee, who they signed to an extension. He's been kind of a mainstay there. The other two names, Joey Cantillo and Slade Ciccone, those are the ones who have been kind of the weaker links recently and probably the ones most likely to lose their rotation spot to an all-star in Foster Griffin, who, Ciccone, as you mentioned, a seven pitch mix, cutter, four-seamer, sweeper, sinker, curveball, changeup, splitter, and maybe he'll add an eighth with Cleveland. Let's see.
Great trade for us. Ohio resident.
Yeah.
I've Washington, D.C. resident.
Yeah, that's big time.
This is really beautiful. This does not mean the Nats are completely going full sell. I think it is worth noting that they may not be focused on 2026. Washington this season has kind of advanced their timeline. First year president of baseball operations, Paul Taboni, has turned this thing around way quicker than anybody could have expected. Mm-hmm. Thinking about this October felt unrealistic.
Yeah.
Even with the offensive performances they've gotten from James Wood and CJ Abrams, this is not a bullpen built to win a World Series right now. Foster Griffin is an expiring deal. It makes a lot of sense to get something back for him now while they still.
And that's why I'm really curious what the return is, because when you looked at what they've gotten so far in their two major deals, Connelly early, a young starting pitcher, and then this group of, I guess, four arms from the Yankees in the Garcia deal, one of whom is already a major leaguer in Jake Bird. But those three of those pitchers are likely relievers. Yeah. Cleveland has some pitching depth that they could move off. I would imagine that that's still what Washington would be targeting, is just as much pitching as possible. I don't know if we have that return yet. But yeah, I think for the Nats, this has still been a really successful season. It does help the timing that they just lost, you know, five in a row. So, you know, it feels a little bit more like, well, yeah, of course, we just got mopped by the Braves. We're not pushing for anything real this year. But yeah.
It is. So we're hearing that four players will be going from Cleveland to Washington. I can confirm, sources telling me, Jose Ramirez, not among them.
Okay.
He'll be staying put
Jake
in Cleveland.
Is plugged in.
Yeah.
He's got, he, you know, you can tell that he's been working.
The phones.
And hold on. Oh, wait, you know what?
What do you got?
Because I got Cleveland sources now, too.
Yeah, what do you got?
No Jose Ramirez in the deal. So
you
I can confirm both sides.
Oh.
No Jose Ramirez.
So,
but four players is compelling.
It is interesting because the Nats, under this current regime, have prioritized quantity over quality. They did the same thing in the Luis Garcia deal yesterday. They did the same thing in the Mackenzie Gore deal over the offseason, getting five players. We are getting news as we speak right now of another trade.
Okay.
Jeff Hoffman.
Oh, Blue Jays. All right, back to the Blue Jays.
Jeff Hoffman,
main character
of the Toronto Blue Jays, will be heading to the Minnesota Twins.
Okay. All right. So the Twins, who have also been a bit of a strange character. Also, how about this? You know, a year ago at this time, the Twins unloaded their entire bullpen, including Louis Varland, to the Blue Jays. Let's remember.
Louis Varland doesn't pitch every game in October for the Blue Jays if he's on the Twins. Sliding doors moment.
That's true. That's a great point. He would just still be hanging out in Minnesota. Now, the Twins, who have been shockingly competent, in fact, they are, I believe, ahead, I guess they're not ahead of Cleveland, but they're right there in Cleveland. They're ahead of Detroit, not too far behind the White Sox. And the real tragedy of the Twins season is that if they had a bullpen, they might be in first place. But the rest of their roster has actually been decent. But because they traded away all of their relievers at last deadline and didn't really replace them, they've had one of the worst bullpens in baseball. They made an early move to get A.J. Minter from the Mets. That was a little smaller fix. They get Dean Kramer from the Orioles. Jeff Hoffman has had a weird season, but under team control for another year, next year.
Yes.
And he's got ridiculous stuff. He will be the closer, I think 100%.
Jeff Hoffman deserves a lot of credit. Jeff Hoffman's final act of the 2025 MLB season was giving up that home run to Miguel Rojas in Game 7 of the World Series, two outs away from a ring. He took it hard. He started this season very poorly. He has bounced back and been a good pitcher now for about 3 months. Most compellingly, he is under contract for next season. This is the first move that the Jays have made where they're selling pieces that would have been on the 2027 team. Significant pieces.
True. That's a good point.
Everything else has been a rental. Last point on Hoffman, there were rumors that he was going to head back to Philly, that they were interested in making that happen. That clearly doesn't go down. The Phillies acquired Caleb Killian, a different reliever, earlier today. Hoffman ends up in Minnesota. We are 20 minutes away from the deadline, and the clock keeps ticking.
And this is a reminder. I mean, this happened last year, too, especially certainly bullpen arms, because you can imagine these are the ones that have already been talked about for days and days and days. I would expect that we are going, I mean, Griffin Jacks, I just mentioned last year, that was right at the buzzer. I mean, I don't even think that was reported until after 6 p.m. last year. And that was a pretty significant deal. So I would not be surprised if we maybe see even some more pitchers that we aren't expecting on the move in the next 20 minutes.
Let's hop back to teams that still need to do some stuff. Sure. We talked about Arizona, who still no trade.
No, but we're still waiting on the snakes. Come on, Mike Hazen, man.
You know what it is? Sure. Maybe it's a time zone thing. Maybe they're caught in between the West and the Mountain Time, and they think it's tomorrow. Keep an eye on that. Buyers that haven't done enough.
Okay.
The Brewers. I need a little more from them.
Yeah, they have the best record in the National League. They have the best record in baseball.
In the baseball.
They have the best record in baseball. So far, they have acquired Dustin May and Jojo Romero from the Cardinals. And that's it, right?
I believe Antonio Senzatella from the
Senzatella.
Rockies as
I like
well.
That. I like that. Okay.
But the moves that the Brewers have made are on the margins, and they are smart. The biggest move that they have not made, excuse me, let me rephrase. The biggest move that they've made is the move they didn't make.
Oh, for sure.
Was not getting Tarek Skubal. Yeah. And I think that it is fair to critique them for that passivity. What did the Brewers have last season, Jordan? The best record in baseball.
What
happened to them in the NLCS?
They did not have the best record in the NLCS.
They went they went winless.
It was not pretty.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about the Brewers, because, and this is also related to the Skubal conversation, which we will have a much longer Skubal conversation later on. We, of course, no doubt about that. But who's the other team that we've been kind of comparing to the Brewers in this conversation?
The Rays.
Rays have been busy.
Very busy.
The Rays have made real moves. The Rays traded for Freddie Peralta yesterday. The Rays traded for Liam Hicks today. The Rays traded for Tyler Wells, who's just good. As good as any of the other pitchers that the Brewers have gotten. Now, it's a different conversation. It's a different calculus in the American League. But still, those are two teams that we've just been begging to see. Okay, you've got these deep farm systems. You have the best records in your league. Go for it. Go for it, please. And the Rays have, even if they didn't get Skubal, they have made real moves, and the Brewers have just kind of done some Brewers stuff, which is disappointing. Are there other teams that you're still hoping in the next 18 minutes are going to make something?
Well, we have a little hug watch here.
Okay.
I'm not sure if this means there's a trade, but a tweet from Derek Gould.
St. Louis,
a man that covers the Cardinals. The Cardinals are here in New York City in the Bronx.
Oh, they are. Okay. Interesting.
And we have a photo of Ollie Marmol, the manager of the Cardinals, giving a hug to Lars Nootbaar.
Oh.
Lars Nootbaar, outfielder, played on Team Japan a couple of years ago. Injuries have kind of made the last few seasons difficult for him. Still very talented, under contract for next season as well. Getting hugs from John Jay. He's on that staff. Ollie Marmol. We have Hug Watch in the Bronx.
So the Cardinals are a really interesting team. They were also awfully quiet until an hour ago when they traded Dustin May, who's a rental that was expected to move, Jojo Romero, another reliever, same thing. Cardinals, another one of those teams kind of stuck in the middle where their record is not that bad, but the quality of their team, similar to the Nationals, it's like, how good is this really?
Where do we think this is? Because Lars Nootbaar is not retiring today. He's not hanging him up. He's not going to play minor league basketball like MJ.
Still needs an outfielder. I guess the Astros, even after acquiring Dalton Varsho, could probably use another outfielder.
The Phillies? The
Phillies could, if they think he can play center field, I think that would absolutely be an upgrade. But I have to imagine that the cost for Lars Nootbaar,
it's not nothing.
Probably still pretty significant, under contract next season. When he first came back, he had surgeries on both heels this offseason. Don't love that.
Is that like Stanton's double tennis
yeah,
elbow?
Yeah, and then there's Jordan has both yeah. knees. Obviously, he's doing just fine. I would assume that they don't feel like they have to trade him. He's cooled off recently. When he came back, he looked, I mean, terrific. Hasn't been quite as good over the last couple of weeks. I really like Lars Nootbaar.
Dude.
And
me too.
Who, what other content? San Diego?
Tampa Bay?
Maybe Tampa Bay. I could see that. Arizona doesn't make any sense. Atlanta doesn't really make any sense.
We will find out. And we will tell you here
oh boy.
On this live edition of Baseball
Barbecast.
Assuming
they're not just messing with us, which has happened before, we should say.
I actually do think
that like Ollie and Lars Nootbaar check the boxes of personalities that would find it funny
to hug
15 minutes before the deadline.
So he's also hugging other people. He's hugging other people.
So you're saying that you're saying that he's definitely gone. It's not if there's too many hugs, then yeah. they can't all be in on the bid, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
15 minutes to the deadline. We're going to take a break here on the Yahoo Sports Network. For those of you watching on YouTube, stick around. We're going to take some of your comments on YouTube.
All right. If you are watching on YouTube, watching on Facebook, watching on X, let us know. We've got some YouTube comments.
What a setup.
What a setup is right. I mean, look at this. Normally, we're just sitting at our desk at home.
Wow.
Jordan looks better without a hat. That is like the best and worst feedback I've ever gotten, right? Because on one hand, it's a compliment.
But it's
on
also
the other
not.
Hand, it's like, oh no, but hey, I've been wearing hats all the time.
That thing you do all the time? I hate that. Don't do that. It is a beautiful setup here. We got enough books that are pretty great. When are you guys playing Bop It, like the What Chaos Do's during the NHL
my God.
Trade deadline?
We have not been live for 22 hours, right? We've been live for 20
Correct.
Minutes. So we love those guys and we support their bits at every
yes.
turn. That said, I don't think Bop It is going to be part of this operation, but I could be wrong.
Yes.
So we're going to see. Foster Griffin Watch is entering crunch time. Foster Griffin Watch is entering crunch time. I want to find out.
I have the return.
Oh, we have the return. Okay. I'm very excited about this because one point I was going to make about that, once you said it was four players, that makes a lot of sense to me because Cleveland's been needing to consolidate for a while. They've had a lot of guys get to the upper minors
sure.
and then just like be like, all right, what's the plan here? So I'm very curious. I still expect it to be pitching heavy.
Okay.
Give me some of the names that are headed to Washington.
The return for Foster Griffin per source. This is via Spencer Nussbaum of
a Nussbaum.
The Athletic.
This is a Nuss, hashtag Nussbaum.
Nussbaum. Nussbaum.
Yeah, but we're calling it a
Nussbaum. Nussbaum. Nussbaum.
Okay. You see what I'm getting at. We love Spencer. What do we got?
Will Dion, Josh Hartle, Nick Mitchell, and Kendeglis Virguez. It's a tough one for me.
I'll be honest. Not familiar with Kendeglis.
Kendeglis? Is he named after Ken Douglas?
Can I try and spell that?
I don't know. Who can say?
Okay. Kendeglis. Okay. Kendeglis, Kendeglis, Kendeglis. Welcome everybody back on Yahoo Sports Network. We are talking about Kendeglis. What was his last name?
Virguez.
Virguez. This is the return that the Washington Nationals have netted for all-star left-hander
yep.
Foster Griffin, who returned stateside after a successful stint with the Yomiuri Giants to become a very good major league pitcher. Will Dion, Josh Hartle, Kendeglis Virguez, don't know about him, but Nick Mitchell is someone
Pretty
who
good.
I have been a fan of for quite some time. I believe that both Nick Mitchell and Josh Hartle were not drafted by Cleveland. I believe both of those gentlemen were acquired in trades. Josh Hartle, who I think came over from Pittsburgh in the trade last year. Nick Mitchell came over from Toronto in the Andrés Giménez trade.
Well, I'm hearing that the Nootbaar news
Ooh.
Is connected to the San Diego Padres.
Aha! Okay, I threw them out there. That makes a lot of sense. Now, that is very interesting because we see here from John Heyman, Padres trying to land Nootbaar, Burleson, or Larnick to fill lefty need. That's very interesting because Nootbaar and Burleson are on the same team.
We have a report here from Jorge Castillo
about
ESPN. The Arizona Diamondbacks are the ones
on the board
acquiring Lars Nootbaar from the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay, so that...
So Padres, the 5 seconds where we thought Lars Nootbaar was going to the Padres, we'll remember that forever.
That said, John Heyman saying that they're also trying for Burleson.
Sure.
And or Larnach. So that would be interesting. Larnach, especially because the Twins are buyers. Confused by that one. Larnach is good. Arizona on the board for Lars Nootbaar. You seem very confused by that. Or are you confused by something else? By the way, we'll get back to Hartle and Nick Mitchell and, sure. And Will Dion.
Or not.
Or not, because Jake is super... is this Nootbaar, or are you reacting to something else?
It is Nootbaar. I'm just looking at the Diamondbacks. Yep. So right now, the outfield is Corbin Carroll in right, Ryan Waldschmidt and Tim Tawa kind of splitting time in center field. Max Kepler has been getting run out there.
Oh, right. He's on their team.
And this is the key point. Max Kepler, the squirming German, a man popped for PEDs over the winter, suspended for 80 games to start the year. But if you test positive for the no-no drugas, you are no bueno in October. And the Diamondbacks, who have played a lot better recently, look like they got a chance to be in the postseason. Bringing in Nootbaar to fill that role makes a ton of sense.
So here are my two things on this one, and we'll wait for the return. Yes, Kepler can't be in the postseason. We're thinking ahead. We should note that Arizona right now has the same record as the Phillies for that second, third wildcard spot, right? The Diamondbacks, what's so interesting about their season, when you look at the roster and you haven't really been paying attention to them, you say, well, clearly they need more pitching. They need more bullpen help. They have all these starting pitchers that are injured. They have to trade for an arm. For the last few years, the thing that you've been able to bank on with Arizona is that they rake. I mean, they are just scoring so many runs. I mean, they've been a top five offense. This year, 19th in OBP, 22nd in OPS, 12th in runs, 28th in homers. Okay? Now, Lars Nootbaar isn't necessarily going to come in and start blasting the ball into the pool. But that is a good offensive player at his best that will help this offense, which brings me to, okay, I'm also not surprised that they could outbid the Padres, because while the Diamondbacks farm system is not amazing, I am not surprised that they have more to give to Arizona or to St. Louis than San Diego does.
It's a very interesting trade.
So what do we, I mean, he's an everyday player, right? So is he going to be start in center?
He'll start in center or he'll play left.
Waldschmidt, right.
Waldschmidt.
DH maybe.
I like that deal a lot. The Diamondbacks.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I because St. Louis has done well in extracting value in these trades. I mean, I really like what they got from Milwaukee.
I would expect going back in this deal would be some sort of controllable big league position player talent. The Diamondbacks farm system is not great. It's very deep.
Yes.
It's deep, but it doesn't have any like high end game changers. I don't think it'll be arms. I think this could be...
Tommy Troy?
Could this be Tommy Troy or Tim Tawa or Ryan Waldschmidt, like one of those three? That trio was rumored to be in the mix for the Connolly Early deal that ended up being Meade for Early with the Red Sox and Nats.
Yes.
The Diamondbacks were interested in Early, offered Tawa or Waldschmidt or... Tawa or Waldschmidt or Tommy Troy in that deal.
Okay.
The Red Sox said no because they wanted guys with a little bit more established juice.
Interesting.
That had been in the big leagues. Could they flip this? Here are the Red Sox. Speaking of the Red Sox, one of our main characters.
Oh.
On the deadline.
Oh, yeah.
The Adley Rutschman trade is, barring anything shocking.
In the next 8 minutes.
I think Scooble understood. Scooble included. The Adley deal is what I will remember from this deadline, because heading into today, it felt like Rutschman wasn't going to get traded. We had heard some rumblings late last night that the Yankees were interested, but like we've known now for a while that Scooble was going to be on the move, and it was just a question of where.
For a long time.
Adley has been rumored to be on the block at previous deadlines. There are always players of this level that are like, could the Nats trade CJ Abrams? Mm-hmm. Could the Angels trade Zach Neto? And more often than not,
the answer is no.
The answer is no, and the guys stay. Byron Buxton is still a Minnesota Twin, no matter how many times people try and put him on trade deadline player lists. But to see Adley go, to see a player that was the face of a franchise, the hope of a fan base, and to go in division was so remarkable, so shocking. And the O's, to their credit, received a haul and a half for his services.
Oh my gosh.
We will break this trade down in all its many threads later on. Jordan, 6 minutes, until the deadline comes, you know, we're here in New York City, and when the deadline comes, I think everyone just starts honking.
That'd be great. At
exactly 6 o'clock.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool if we start hearing that. I will say, I think the team that I'm thinking about right now, I mean, definitely Toronto, especially now that they've traded Hoffman.
Yeah.
Do they have one more offloading move?
You're so right.
Like that.
That's
one,
the main character for the next 6 minutes. And remember,
yeah,
we will get deals.
One, yeah.
We'll get deals flowing in after the deadline. Like it's pencils down at six, but the news will trickle out.
Yeah, and I've asked people in front offices about this. They don't have to tweet it before 6 p.m. Basically, what has to happen is
you have to call the league.
Teams have to send in. They at least have to. Both teams have to send an email with the deal before 6 p.m. That has to be in the league's inbox. But that doesn't mean we still might. Now we're going to be on until close to 7. So by then, I think we'll know all the deals that have happened. But we've had deadlines where it's 6:20, 6:25, where there's still some coming in, and I would expect that to happen again this year. So we will see.
So, but you're right. Like the Jays, I think, are going to be the team over the next 10 minutes that gets the most done. They still have to trade Springer, Bieber, and Scherzer. I would expect
they could. Right? Especially because Springer has.
So that's important.
Springer could say no. He's making a lot of money too.
Springer has 5 and 10 rights, which means he's been on the Jays for 5 years. He's been in the league for 10 years. That allows him to basically veto any trade, which is a remarkable thing that a player can do. We are hearing that the Mets.
Are done.
Closed their laptops.
Okay.
Anthony DiComo of MLB.com, a friend of the program, reporting that the Mets are not expecting any more deals. How about that? So the only thing left on the ledger for them is Luis Robert Jr.,
who is now left with the Mets outfield. Now, granted, Juan Soto currently injured. So
sure.
I guess they can play, Benj in the corner and then have Robert out there. But the Mets outfield is set for hopefully a long time with AJ Ewing and Carson Benj, Juan Soto. But for this year, I guess he's just going to hang out.
So really interesting point. Really interesting point here, because Soto getting hurt and being out for the next month or so means that the Mets can afford to hang on to Robert, play him, hope he plays better over the next month, and then try and trade him this winter.
If they exercise his option.
Sure.
Which they'd have to do, and would be quite the risk to commit to that.
I understand.
So, okay, we got another trade. Cleveland Guardians staying busy acquiring Nathaniel Lowe in a trade with the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds are another team who seemingly had a lot to offload. This is not a good baseball team.
No.
And they could have Tyler Stevenson and Brady Singer. We thought they were definitely getting traded.
Tyler Stevenson cried the other day.
Tyler Stevenson was weeping because he was like, "I'm done." Oh, which
tears.
Is awesome.
We love tears.
And Tyler Stevenson's been in the Reds organization for over 10 years. Like that made sense. He was like, "Teams need catchers, so maybe he's going to be a Yankee at some point in the next 3 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever." Moving on from Nathaniel Lowe, that makes sense. JJ Bleday, another breakout bat who is under team control for another year, I think. They could have traded him. So the Reds, I don't know what they're doing. If they only trade Nathaniel Lowe, that makes absolutely zero sense. Singer, Stevenson, they should totally be traded. The Mets, yeah, them hanging on to Robert, I think he just ended up in a weird spot where they were unable to move him. I think he's just going to be a free agent this offseason, and that's going to be that. Other than that, I think that the Tigers, I think, are the last team, too, that I wanted to mention. Just the fact that we'll talk plenty about them in Scooble later. But like Casey Mize, who
Gleyber Torres,
they scratched the other day because they were thinking about trading him. What's his health status? Gleyber Torres, could they move him? They have other relievers like Finnegan and Drew Anderson and Kenley Jansen that presumably teams were calling about. Is this them saying, okay, we love this Scooble return, but we're also still, what, two and a half games out of a postseason spot? So we might as well just hang around and see what happens this year. Especially if it's, River Ryan comes up and is good. Yeah. Tigers, I'm also kind of perplexed by.
The last team I want to mention is the Philadelphia Phillies.
Ooh, okay.
This is something that you and I disagree about pretty vehemently.
Sure.
The Phillies need a five-starter. It has been on the top of their list. They made a trade earlier today for Luis Arraez, for Caleb Killian, who's going to help their bullpen. They brought in Brooks Raley from the Mets. This team is a starting pitcher short. Andrew Painter had been in that five-starter role for much of the season, really, really struggled there, came back after a stint in the minors, was good, over the weekend. Do they think that he's the answer now, that he's made the necessary adjustments to be a viable option? It's, look, when you're looking at a team like the Phillies that's going to be in the playoffs, it feels silly to say they could use a five-starter, someone that wouldn't pitch in October. Postseason baseball is no guarantee in the city of brotherly love right now.
Yeah, it's not. As we mentioned, the Diamondbacks have rallied and caught them. They're both at 59-53. They're only a game up on the Padres. To me, it's the Padres and the Pirates. Those are the teams that I guess the Marlins kind of, because they didn't really sell off too many pieces. But to me, it's the Padres and the Pirates, and still Arizona to a degree. That's who you're talking about. You are worried that the Phillies maybe cannot hold off those teams if they don't get a five-starter.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a historic run of bad performances whenever Sanchez or Wheeler or Lizardo doesn't start.
Okay.
It is 6 o'clock. If the emails are not in.
You want to say the line?
Pencils down. What's the line?
That's the line. You nailed it. That's the line. Pencils down is weird because that implies that I'd say, okay, pencils down on a test. You only have so much time to take a test. But I like that it's like, imagine how many fewer deals would get done if they had to be handwritten and sent via, you know, carrier pigeon. This day would suck. Or honestly, it would be good because then they wouldn't be able to procrastinate as much. They would have had to really start making these moves days ago.
So it
seems
done.
Like, it seems like it's over.
That's it. Thank you.
We are going to have some deals trickling in. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. If that is accurate, it is quite related to what we were just speculating about. And it is not the Phillies acquiring a five-starter. It is the San Diego Padres acquiring Casey Mize.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Which
means that we do have multiple number one overall picks on the move today after Adley Rutschman, Henry Davis not traded, I don't think. Bryce Harper on the move to the outfield. Are there any other number one overall picks that could be traded today? I'll check that. But how do we feel about this? The Padres did swing a deal for Robbie Ray earlier today. They needed starting pitching so badly. They obviously have an elite bullpen that they did not end up trading from. Mason Miller stays put. Adrian Morahone seemingly stays put. Bragley Rodriguez, if you're not familiar with him, he's awesome. Their bullpen is awesome. Their starting pitching is not awesome. And they don't add any offense, unless I'm forgetting something.
I would like to talk about A.J. Preller. A.J. Preller, the general manager of the San Diego Padres, has a reputation as a madman. People know him as a wheeler, a dealer, who does not know when to hold them and when to fold them. He goes big, and all Octobers, he goes home. This year, Mr. Preller had a sophisticated deadline. He had a normal time the last 10 hours.
Yeah.
He brought in Casey Mize and Robbie Ray, both of whom are rentals, both of whom will be helpful, neither of whom he had to like do anything out of this universe
for.
Well,
assuming they didn't like trade Ethan Salas for Casey
Mize. I would assume they didn't trade Ethan Salas. But it is nice. It is a nice change of pace. You know what? This is A.J. Preller having a normal deadline is like when your crazy buddy from college, you like go grab a drink with them.
Yeah.
And like they get a really fancy cocktail. And you're like, you know what? It's good to see that you're not still relying on Four Loko.
So it reminds me of the deadline that they had. Well, I guess that was the weird year with Soto in 23, where they weren't good and they were like, well, we should probably buy because it's too embarrassing to not buy, but they didn't actually do that much. They traded for Rich Hill and Garrett Cooper.
Yep.
And G-Man Choi and Scott Barlow. This is more than that, I think, but it's really just two starting pitchers, Robbie Ray and Casey Mize, who, if they're healthy, like, yeah, those are...
Right.
Am I feeling awesome about them in a game one? No.
No. But you're hoping Michael King is healthy and ready to
roll. Yeah, you're hoping Michael King is healthy. Other than that, they've got still Walker Buehler and Herman Marquez. So, yeah.
I want to set a point here for the deadline, and this will help kind of moving forward as we evaluate these trades as they roll in the ones we've already seen. Any deadline deal, any player you add, is about the delta. It's about the difference between the player you acquire and the same position, the same player on your roster that is no longer playing as a result of your acquisition. It's who's coming in.
In the short term, when we're talking about improving your roster in this season, yes, that is correct.
There is an argument that the Padres getting Casey Mize is a bigger jump in an addition than the Dodgers getting Tarek Skubal.
Yes, true.
Like, that's kind of the point I'm trying to make here. When you look at the quality of the player on its own, that does not tell the entire story.
For sure. I will also spin that back to the Phillies. Because while I understand your point that, in theory, the Phillies should have been able to upgrade their five starter because of how bad it's been, the Phillies do have Sanchez, Lizardo, Wheeler. An incredible top three. Whereas the Padres have had Michael King and Michael King hasn't even been that good. So the upgrade for them in getting Robbie Ray and Casey Mize, now in contrast to the Phillies, who maybe didn't upgrade as much, not even just talking about the five starter, but the roster overall, I think that is a related conversation, because now I do feel a little bit better about the San Diego Padres chasing down that third or second wildcard spot.
Absolutely. So their rotation,
Padres, moving into winners,
before today was Michael King, Herman Marquez, Walker Buehler, and praying for rain.
Whatever our pal Lucas Giolito is up to. So, man, oh man. All right, we got a couple buzzer beaters that we want to catch up on, I believe.
Marlins made a deal to acquire some relief pitching.
Did they? I believe they're trading.
They did.
Oh, they did. And they also traded Lake Backer away. Okay, this is weird. So the Marlins have acquired Victor Vodnik from the Colorado Rockies for Connor Norby, who was a top 100 prospect at some point, showed well early in his career. They got him from the Orioles. I think that's totally reasonable buy low from the Rockies. That makes sense. What I'm a little bit more confused about is that the Marlins are trading away Lake Backer, who's been one of their main kind of mid-leverage relievers, to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who continue to add bullpen help.
I do like that. This is cool. Marlins-Rockies trades for bullpen guys.
I'm just reading what's on the screen, but I agree.
Respectfully.
Here's an interesting nugget, now that we're past the deadline. Who's not moving? Okay? Kirby Yates to the Pirates. God bless. Pirates loading up on relievers. Some of them will be good. Some of them will be bad. That's what they needed to do. Orioles keeping Trevor Rogers. Now, that is an example of a pitcher that if the Phillies had acquired, you would have been like, hell yeah, you know, take the ball for the next 2 months and then we probably won't need you in October. Instead, it seems like the Orioles are keeping Trevor Rogers. Why would the Orioles keep Trevor Rogers?
Because they're trying to make the playoffs to win a World Series.
All right. Good job. Oh, my God. The... oh, AJ Preller. You glorious, glorious, glorious man. The Padres have traded away their first-round pick once again as Cash Mayfield, we should not be surprised whatsoever, who was the 25th overall pick 2 years ago out of an Oklahoma high school, is heading to Detroit, as is Jackson Wolf, who has also already been traded, a left-handed pitcher who actually made his major league debut a few years ago for the Padres. He's kind of stagnated in the upper minors. But Detroit, good job. Padres also getting Gage Workman. That's weird. But Cash Mayfield is the prize here. He has not, like, really exploded yet. But this is a former first-round pick who's still, 20 years old and is a big lefty that has real good stuff. And the Tigers really need pitching in their system.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to do that.
One of my favorite conversations from the Futures game, Cash Mayfield.
Oh, Cash Mayfield. Okay,
he's from the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma.
Sure is.
Enjoyed getting to chat with him. We had a couple Pirates moves trickle in at the deadline. I like what they did in the last 48 hours to just say,
As
many relievers as possible.
So that if I'm following, that means that they have acquired five relievers at this deadline, if I'm not mistaken. It was with Duvall, Weaver, Backer, Kirby Yates, and... is there one more? I feel like there's one more, but maybe not. But still, I mean, even four major league relievers is pretty substantial. I loved the Weaver deal. I think that was awesome. We'll maybe talk more about that later. So it was no secret that that's what the Pirates needed, and they have gone out and addressed that in a very big way, and I have to give them credit for doing so because, I mean, I haven't seen exactly the returns for some of these, but, I mean, that is what the Pirates needed, and I'm glad that they made that happen. Other players that are staying put, according to Ken Rosenthal, Zach Neto and Reed Detmers. So we had some spice earlier in the afternoon. Some reports that the Cubs were trying to acquire Reed Detmers. I thought that was a great fit. Instead, sounds like he is staying. So the Angels were willing to talk and consider players under longer-term deals.
They traded Jose Soriano.
They trade Joe Adell, who is also under contract next season. Zach Neto and Reed Detmers stay put, which means that as soon as the deadline or as soon as the season is over, we will resume talking about them as trade candidates.
Yeah.
But for now, they will stay with the Angels. Is there anyone else that was not traded that we should be thinking about as curious non-movers? We mentioned Luis Robert. We mentioned Trevor Rogers.
I think Tyler Stevenson worth bringing back up for the following reason. Tyler Stevenson felt like such an obvious fit for the Yankees, who needed to upgrade
the White Sox
at catcher. Yep. The Yankees don't upgrade at catcher. The Reds don't trade Tyler Stevenson. He's got to put those tiers back in a bottle. Brady Singer having a tough year in Cincy. He's also not on the move. Springer, Bieber, and Scherzer appear to be staying put in Toronto. Ryan Stanek, who I thought was going to get traded from the Cards, he stays in St. Louis.
That smells like one that could pop up at 621. That like no one was chasing that one down. But maybe not. Maybe no Ryan Stanek. And again, no other Tigers. Like the fact that they were willing to move Mize at the buzzer,
but sure,
still none of these other pitchers, whether it's Finnegan or whether it's, and maybe they just decided, well, okay, Cash Mayfield. We weren't expecting to get Cash Mayfield. And then AJ Preller calls and you get Cash Mayfield.
Another fascinating team that I want to talk about for a couple minutes is the Texas Rangers.
Oh my God.
Who did nothing today? There were rumors that they were going to sell big. We had Jacob DeGrom declining a trade.
That means that they tried to sell big. They tried to trade Jacob DeGrom.
And Jacob DeGrom said, nope, I'm not going anywhere.
We heard that Nathan Eovaldi was maybe in the mix, that they were considering Mackenzie Gore. A week ago,
Corey Seager buzz last night.
I assume he has a no-trade clause also. They just got swept by the Astros, right?
Sure.
A week ago, they traded with the Angels to get Logan Ohapi, Chase Silseth. Not that that's like a massive buy.
Yeah.
And then instead, they do nothing and trade away Josh Smith to the Blue Jays in the trade that I also don't understand.
What's great about the Rangers deadline is that it was so boring that the only guy they traded away is literally named Josh Smith.
And yet, half game ahead of the Mariners, 2.5 back of Houston, I guess they can still win the division. Like, they've been fine. They could have traded Jock. He's been rejuvenated.
Yep.
I'm sure teams were asking about him. So,
all right.
I think that what the Rangers did, whether it's the posturing, not buying, not selling, is kind of pathetic. And yet, I can't really write them off because these other teams have been so embarrassing. That said, Seattle Mariners got Taylor Ward, you know? Traded Luis Castillo. Maybe Kate Anderson will come up. Sir Anthony Dominguez will help the bullpen a little bit. I will say, if the Mariners did not add another reliever, I am disappointed in that. I think that that is something that they should have been able to do. That said, they got one of the best hitters available in Taylor Ward, so I can't harp on them too much compared to some of these other teams in the middle who did not get better. And Texas, who's right in front of them in the standings, is certainly one of them. Are there any other? I mean, Baltimore obviously went backwards. We can talk about them. In terms of the American League wildcard race.
Yeah, let's get that. Can we put the American League wildcard race?
If we get
race,
the AL standings.
Because they change every day.
Yeah. So, okay, this is very interesting. So Boston and New York have started to separate themselves, and Tampa. We're looking like we'll have those three AL East teams in some order. I feel good about that.
I agree. It is funny that those three teams are looking around the AL and saying, you live like this? We're going for it. And
that's kind of appropriate.
As they should.
Yeah.
The White Sox, currently atop the AL Central, pretty aggressive over the last couple of days. Didn't give up any of their top prospects. Acquired Luis Castillo.
Unless you love Boston Smith.
The key thing there is that the White Sox are interested, though not desperate, to play October baseball.
Yeah.
A little surprised by the Astros' passivity. Dalton Varsho coming in.
That's it.
From the Blue Jays to play center field. That's their only addition. I think they could have used another bat or another reliever, another starting pitcher. Traded away Spencer Arrighetti in that deal. Let's draw a little line in our minds beneath Boston. Yep. Cleveland, that's Minnesota, thinking, yeah. Seattle, Baltimore, Detroit. We can take
Texas.
We can take Detroit, and I think we can agree that for all the we still believe in this team.
That they will do this week.
That they will say this week.
After sweeping the A's.
After sweeping the A's, you have to bump them and Baltimore down a half tier below all these other teams. It helps that they're at the bottom of this list as it stands. The Orioles trading away Adley and Tyler Wells has been very helpful and not making any significant additions. The Orioles.
And Taylor Ward.
And Taylor Ward. The Orioles today are worse than they were yesterday.
By a lot. By more than. Almost
by maybe more than ever. And I would say the Tigers and the Orioles are the two big league teams in the AL that got the most worst.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even think that's close. I mean, who even in the NL? I don't really even think anyone in the NL. I guess the Nats, right? The Nats would be the other team that got a lot worse because they traded Luis Garcia. And
I'm talking about the AL.
But in the AL, 100%. Yeah. I think that you're exactly right. So then let's talk about the teams. How much better did these other teams get?
The Mariners, in my opinion, are one of the biggest winners of the day. Not just because Taylor Ward is a big upgrade, but because their biggest competition in a very weak division, Houston and Texas, didn't do anything overwhelming. Yep. And I would say moving forward, the Mariners remain the favorite to win the American League West.
I think that that's right. And you mentioned Houston. Why weren't they more aggressive? They ain't working with much, right?
Sure.
Now, that said, if you want to be like AJ Preller, you could find some stuff to trade. And they decided not to, you know? Like, if Dana Brown really was trying to save his job the way that AJ Preller has seemingly been acting for 7 years in a row, he could have found a way to do better than just Dalton Varsho. In my opinion, and he didn't. Whether that was finding
super interesting,
you know. So I agree with you, and as that relates, and then we just talked about Texas. So I totally agree with you in terms of Seattle. Now, if we say that Seattle is still part of the wild card mix, let's consider those other teams. Now, what's so interesting about the AL in general is that we are not just talking about the wild card, and we are talking about the fact that the Guardians and Twins, who I want to remind everybody, got Jeff Hoffman. Who, if he's at his best, could go a long way in fixing their bullpen issues.
Yep.
And they didn't trade Jeffers. They didn't trade Larnick. Like, they kept their guys. They didn't trade Joe Ryan, right? Twins, Guardians are looking at the... They still could say, we could still win this division.
And that is the biggest difference between the American League and the National League right now. Is that all three divisions in the AL are completely up for grabs. The Yankees, Rays, Red Sox battling out on that side. In the Central, it's three teams. And in the West, it's three teams.
Yes.
In the,
for a bye. For a bye.
For a bye. The NL is a completely different landscape. If the Brewers, the Braves, or the Dodgers, if those are not the three division winners at the end of the season.
It would be very surprising.
It would be very surprising.
Very, like, shocking. Whereas, as you just mentioned, so the in theory, this is what's back to Texas. It's just like, what are we doing? You could get a bye. You could like, and that's also why you could say that Cleveland should be even more aggressive. Sure. But honestly, Cleveland, good for them. The go out and getting Foster Griffin. I mean, they clearly needed more offense, and Joe Adele being the solution on offense.
It's not the solution.
Not loving that. But
let's hop back to the NL here for a sec before we send it to a quick break. Yeah. We can take the two teams at the bottom, St. Louis and Washington, and push them down in the same way that we push down Detroit and Baltimore, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Where the Nats got worse, the Cardinals got worse. Maybe they didn't get as worse as they could have. The Nats didn't trade C.J. Abrams. The Cardinals didn't trade Alec Burleson. Like, there are pieces that they held on to. Those teams are out of the mix. The Marlins just kind of
Let's talk about what they did. No. I mean, it's a little bit more interesting than that. I mean, Liam Hicks has had a heck of a season.
Yes.
But he has not been as important to them more recently.
I think the Marlins got worse today.
I think so too.
The Pirates are the most important team on that list. The Pirates are the team today that acted with a sense of desperation and urgency for 2026.
Yeah.
Upgrading.
Well, not as much as San Diego. Because Weaver's under contract next year, and I don't even think the Pirates gave up that much to get all of this help. So Pittsburgh, it's not quite the same as Seattle because Pittsburgh, I don't think they don't have a chance to win the division. But when you consider that this is the team with the longest playoff drought in the National League, I feel awesome about where Pittsburgh's at.
I agree because they didn't. It would be tempting to do this like enormous gesture.
Yes.
Of going and getting Casey Mize or getting Taylor Ward, I would rather have all the relievers that they got than any one game changer because they needed depth more than anything else. All right, we're going to send it to break for all the folks watching in the Yahoo Sports Network. If you're watching on YouTube X in the other room, don't move. We're going to read some of your comments right now.
Before we get to our first comment, I will just say, saddest tweet of the deadline from C. Trent Rosecrans. The Reds completed two trades, Nathaniel Lowe to the Guardians and Caleb Ferguson to the Cardinals.
That's a bummer.
My goodness.
Snakes alive.
Snakes alive.
Remember that?
Nootbaar, man. Snakes alive. It was a long time ago. Arson Nootbaar to the pods.
Great tweet.
Ooh, that is very funny. I have a feeling Preller is finally going to budge before six and Mason Miller is a Mariner. Whoa. Okay. Well, that's not exactly what happened.
Let's actually quickly just talk about.
He did budge. But
Mason Miller. When Mason Miller decided to, when he threw 30 pitches the other day, in my mind, they weren't going to trade him. Like that was just like Mason Miller was just not a character.
Wait, but why did it matter how many pitches he threw?
Because like, you're not going to overpitch a guy right before you trade him.
I guess. Oh, I see. You're saying it's the opposite of scratching a guy is using.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have the league's email address? Have to send an email on behalf of Cashman.
We have not talked nearly enough about the Yankees yet.
We will.
Especially because they made a deal like pretty late in the process in landing Elliot Ramos from the Giants. So like where they fall on the spectrum of did you do enough as a contender considering the circumstances when you consider how much better Tampa Bay got, when you consider how much better Boston got. Right? We haven't talked about Eric Miller for Marcelo Meyer. That one still blows my mind. So yeah, I think, we can have a Yankees conversation now. This is so nice. Look at this production value. So proud of you nerds.
Love it.
Proud of us too.
I'm proud of you, Jordan.
Don't worry. This is not permanent. Red's gonna Rocky. That is unfortunately extremely well done.
The whole team is gonna run up those steps in Philadelphia.
Not what they meant. This is essentially a reference to the Rockies act or the Reds, like the Rockies used to act kind of in isolation. And it was just like, what's going on over there? Are they aware of the rest of the league and what they should obviously be doing right now? Man, oh man. All right. Welcome back. We were just dunking on the Reds. If you want to leave some more comments dunking on the Reds, you can do so on YouTube.
Is it Scooble time yet?
I think it's probably Scooble time. We'll come back to the Yankees. We'll do that conversation next. I think the three main things that we definitely have to talk about now that we are 20 minutes past the deadline, which means at this point, if a trade gets reported that we haven't known about, I would be surprised. Once we're past 6:20, I think it's over. I think that the players that have been reported as being on the move are on the move,
for those of you watching on YouTube, I'm going to do the symbolic placing of the phone under the hat. There will be no more trades as far as I'm concerned. And that...
But we still got our producers in our ear, so maybe we'll shock the world. But Jake's no longer texting his hashtag sources to find things out. So the trades are over, which means now we can start talking about our favorite deals. I think that's a good way to do it. Trade deadline has passed. Players will no longer change teams for the most part. The waiver deadline is over. Maybe we see some silly stuff where teams just get rid of players. But... our favorite trades that have happened, not like the best moves necessarily, but the trades that have occurred that are just juicy.
They make you smile.
They're just, every time you think about it a little bit longer, you're just like, oh, what about that? But what does that mean?
You make a great point is that like, if you're a neutral and a trade happens that doesn't involve your team, there's like a guttural response that you can have that can be anywhere from ooh to huh to no. And I think that these trades are falling into the
yes
bucket.
So let's do that and then we'll do Scooble.
Great.
Here are five. Let's do this. So five favorite trades, because Scooble is going to be its own conversation. And I think for most people, Tarek Skubal is not their favorite trade. That it's, or most people watching, that is a trade that makes them go, why? No, why? Okay, so then we'll move that to the side. Let's go back to the Yankees. Let's talk about Luis Garcia Jr. Because this is someone, now that you're in D.C., you've seen a lot of the Luis Garcia Jr. breakout. And while, yes, they did add Elliot Ramos before the deadline, and that is important because he's right-handed and is going to get at-bats, Elliot Ramos is not having a breakout season where it's like, oh my God, is this one of the best hitters in the National League? Luis Garcia, his numbers say that he's been one of the best hitters in the National League. Is that what the Yankees have really gotten here, and how does he actually fit?
So let's talk about the fit first. He's going to play first base. Luis Garcia Jr. before this season was a second baseman. Part of his breakout has been the Nats moving him to first, which has allowed him to focus more on his offensive game. He's not a second baseman anymore. I would be pretty surprised if he plays second base for the Yankees at all. He's going to play first base against right-handed pitching. Garcia is a lefty stick. Against lefties, expect Paul Goldschmidt to still be in there. Age aside, Goldschmidt is still, frankly, one of the better hitters in the league against left-handed pitching. Ben Rice is going to play every day, whether that's DH or first base. It feels weird that the Yankees' biggest addition is a platoon bat. Even though it's the strong side of the platoon, I would be surprised if he's ever starting over Rice or Goldschmidt against a left-handed pitcher. That being said, I kind of like this deal. Because the Yankees' biggest need at the deadline was not relief pitching, was not starting pitching, it was not even a specific position. It was getting an adult hitter. It was getting some sort of offensive upgrade, a dude that rakes, a guy that mashes. Judge on the IL, Bellinger on the IL, Stanton on the IL forever, sadly. Luis Garcia hits. Can he do a lot else? Probably not. But he hits.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I like it. I have to imagine.
I like it less today than I did yesterday.
Oh,
because they didn't, well, I'm going to say why. They didn't stick the landing.
Sure.
They didn't upgrade at catcher. They didn't upgrade at third. They didn't upgrade at short.
Right. So they got better.
But Luis Garcia for the next 2 months has to carry the weight of being the deadline acquisition for the New York Yankees. Luis Garcia Jr. has gone from castaway, non-tender candidate afterthought to legitimate key player for the second most followed and important team in our sport.
Yeah. And look, like Ramos is going to be important too. All-Star 2 years ago. He's actually been better this season than I thought. It's a 104 OPS plus compared to 124 a year ago, 108 last year. But, you know, the strikeouts,
sure,
and the defense is bad. So, but I'm still just bringing him up again because they did give up some good prospects to get him. And because we're only talking about these two players and it's the New York Yankees, he is also going to get a lot of attention.
And criticism.
And criticism.
If he goes one for his first 14,
yes,
they could be booing him in 2 weeks. How does he react? How does he respond? Yes. How does he carry that?
Yes.
The Nats lineup. This year, so many of those upgrades, of those breakouts, have been a product of that environment where they are so tuned in to their process and their prep. I'm not saying the Yankees don't do that. Can he make that adjustment? I'm fascinated to see. The stakes are very high.
So the other thing about Garcia that I definitely wanted to mention, and we'll get to the return, obviously, because that's an important part of this. I will just say that the Yankees didn't give up that much, certainly nothing that is going to hurt them this year. And that's true in both trades.
Yep.
They didn't trade from their major league roster to improve, to add these two hitters. Garcia being under contract next year, I do think is also relevant, right?
Absolutely.
Because I can't imagine that Goldschmidt is still part of the conversation next year, respectfully. It's already amazing that he's played his way back into it this year. And so once we look past next year, which, by the way, the last year of Giancarlo Stanton also, so who knows if he's, I mean, I imagine they still want to keep him around, but mostly, at first base, DH, maybe second, kind of, probably so, not.
That's what's crazy about this deal, is it's telling us that Stanton is not being counted on to come back this year.
This year, probably not.
And be a difference maker for this team.
Probably not. I don't even know how to talk about Stanton at this point, but I'm just saying that the value of getting Garcia is also relevant for he could just be the starting first baseman next year, DH with Rice.
Absolutely.
So that's not insignificant.
Very quickly on the return, and then we'll move to Luis Arraez. I want to pick up the pace a little bit. The Nats saying, our bullpen sucks. Let's get some relievers. Makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Yes.
Is it a little weird that they use that asset to acquire relief pitching? It's creative, certainly. It's a different way than I would have thought they would have gone about it, but it addresses an organizational need, and for that reason, I like it. Let's fly through a couple more of the trades we really like. Luis Arraez headed to Philadelphia. This trade is so weird. It is so interesting, and it is so fitting for a player like Luis Arraez, who is as weird, as unique, as singular as anybody in our sport. There is no one like Luis Arraez.
Really isn't.
He doesn't hit the ball hard. Doesn't barrel it up, but he finds grass, and he hits for average, and he doesn't strike out. A player the Phillies could very much use, and his arrival in Philadelphia precipitates a very bizarre reshuffling with the defensive alignment at Citizens Bank Park. Arraez moving to second base this season. Nice defensive year from him. Had played first base in the past. He's going to play second for the Phillies. They have a second baseman. Bryson Stott. Bryson Stott's going to move to third base. They have a third baseman, Alec Bohm. Alec Bohm's going to move to first. They have a first baseman, Bryce Harper.
They sure do.
Bryce Harper.
Where's Bryce Harper going?
The outfield.
On the move. First overall pick on the move.
Outfield. The idea that Luis Arraez is moving Bryce Harper back to the outfield is a hilarious set of dominoes.
Right.
And a reason for this trade to be considered hilarious, interesting, fascinating. So, I think the Phillies got better with this deal. Their defense might have gotten a little worse.
Bryce Harper has not played a game in the outfield since 2022.
Me neither.
When he played 8 games, he started 139 games in right field in 2021.
Sure.
That's a long time ago now. So, is he going to be worse than Schwarber was when they were still running him out there? Probably not. But it is just going to be really interesting to see Bryce, who has, this year his numbers at first base have been atrocious. And I almost wonder if that's
part of it.
Part of this is that, this hasn't been going great. Yeah, he had generally been good since he was there, but this year it's been really bad. So I am very interested in that. I just love how many pieces they are moving around for Arraez.
For 2 months.
Yes. for 2 months. Yes. I will also just mention with this one, I think Caleb Killian is very good. And knowing that the Phillies needed to add relievers, I think that's part of it too. And part of why they were probably willing to part with a really good young pitching prospect in Ramon Marquez.
Three more trades we really like before we get to Scooble. Luke Weaver to the Pirates.
Yeah. I just thought them trading just Sammy Stafura, who's been on fire recently in A-ball, a guy they got one for one for Cabrian Hayes a year ago.
Wow.
And they flip him already for Luke Weaver, not just for this year, for next year. If this was just for rental Luke Weaver, I still would like it. And to get him for next year too, for how badly they need relief help, I just love this for Pittsburgh.
And the Mets are paying
$6 million for next year. Good job, Pittsburgh.
Great bit of business.
The Clay Holmes to Chicago.
Love it.
I think that one is a fit in terms of pitcher, style of pitcher and defense with the Cubs infield is just perfect. It's just perfect. And Clay Holmes, of course, working his way back from a leg injury. They needed to add starting pitching. They get Clay Holmes.
Yes.
They get Braxton Garrett, I guess. We'll see.
Let's focus on Holmes. This is a guy who doesn't have strikeout stuff. That's fine. He gets a lot of weak contact. The Cubs have one of the best defensive infields in the sport. They have PCA running around in center. I really like this matchup.
It is also funny that they already traded for David Peterson. That was first. And then they call him back, hey, can we also get Clay Holmes? And then Kevin Gausman. That's the other bigger one, bigger name, someone who, I think they're more likely counting on starting in a postseason game. But the fifth there with Clay Holmes, I really like.
Think about it this way. How many teams traded for two playoff caliber starting pitchers at this deadline?
Cubs and the Padres.
Cubs and the Padres. I think that's correct.
If you really like Chris Bubich, the Dodgers as well. Last trade we really like before.
Speaking of postseason starters.
Freddy Peralta
to the Tampa Bay Rays. Especially in contrast to Milwaukee, we talked about for them to miss on Skubal and then just be like, all right, that's fine. Let's just go get Freddy Peralta. Obviously, Freddy Peralta is having the worst season he's had really of his career. But if there is a team that I'm going to count on being able to make the tweaks necessary, I think that this is exactly what they needed to do. They have easily a deep enough system to go make this happen. Some of the players they got rid of, you know, I love Petre and Gary Gilhill something, but not a cost that they should be sweating.
Sure.
A team that should be going for it, trying to win the American League. And I love this. I really like this move a lot. And I'm just so excited to see what they do with him.
Yeah, like I trust those people to fix this player. If Freddy Peralta had ended up somewhere else, I might have been a little bit more worried. The Rays are a club I trust. Skubal time. Did you see this? Did you see this news?
Yeah.
Tariq.
Yeah, Tariq on the move. I think by now, I'm sure the Dodgers fans have familiarized themselves with Mr. Skubal, who is not on the Tigers anymore. This went down late on Saturday night. It was the move we were all waiting for. And we wondered, would the Tigers take this to the deadline to get the best possible offer? And in fact, yes, they did the opposite. Mm-hmm. They said, we're not going to mess around here. I guess, presumably, at some point on Saturday morning, they went to the Dodgers and the Rays and the Brewers and the Braves, and they said, well, let's hear it. Let's hear your best offers, because we are making this move now. And the Dodgers were able to put together the best package. Is that surprising? No. If you listen to our trade deadline preview with Jeff Passan on Friday morning, this is kind of where we assumed this was going to be heading. However, once we ended on this three-player package of Zaire Hope, River Ryan, Brady Smith, I think most people were still like, really? That was still it for the guy we've been talking about getting traded, the two-time Cy Young winner, maybe the best pitcher in baseball, who, as he's moved away from his remarkably innovative elbow surgery, continues to look more and more like himself, that this is all they could get. Some people said, wow, they got a ton. But I think for the casual fan and for those who have been tired of the Dodgers racking up superstars on their roster, I think I'm not surprised that this is the main reaction.
I think our next podcast is going to be a lot of Skubal chat.
Yeah. We have lot. There are so many. And especially because he is going to make his Dodgers debut tomorrow at Wrigley Field.
Yes.
So Wednesday's pod will be heavy Skubal Dodgers. You can just go in so many different directions. Like, the players themselves are fascinating. Skubal himself is fascinating in terms of just what he is as a pitcher right now, where he fits into this rotation, why they felt like they needed to do this, what that tells us about Snell and Glasnow and Roki and Ohtani on the mound. There's so many different directions we could go. The fact that they did it is really not surprising. But man, oh man. I mean, they did it again. Them Dodgers.
Here's where I'll go now with Skubal. The package that the Dodgers gave up to get Skubal, any other team in the league could have assembled that package. Skubal said this today when speaking to the media at Dodger Stadium. Any team could have traded for me. If you don't like what the Dodgers did, play better.
Don't like it, trade better.
Trade better. That is true. However, the appetite the Dodgers had to make this deal is simply on a different level than any of the other teams in the sport. A dollar, to me, is different than a dollar to Juan Soto.
Mm. Yep.
A dollar means more to me than it does to a man with a $765 million contract. Fact or fiction?
Yeah.
The same player of the same general value to the Dodgers means less than the same player for the Brewers or the Rays or even the Braves. And that is because the Dodgers can backfill those holes easier than any other organization in the sport. I am not saying any of this to say we need a salary cap. I think these are slightly different conversations. We will have ample time to discuss this when the baseball is not being played this winter. But it's a fact. The Dodgers can do things that other teams cannot do. And something that gets lost in this conversation, Jordan, is that their financial advantage, which they have earned, manifests in player development. They have more scouts than anybody else.
Yep.
They have more player development people
coaches,
than anybody else.
Analysts.
They have more analysts than anybody else.
Exactly.
Whenever one of these orgs is firing pro scouts, the Dodgers swoop in and take.
That's exactly right.
And it's like they can do that because there's so much money in the bag.
Yeah. And now that doesn't mean that they still don't get credit for
Absolutely.
Doing the evaluation
Absolutely.
To trade Michael Bush, also an expendable piece for Isaiah Hope that you can then flip for Tarek Skubal. Trade Matt Beatty for this guy, River Ryan, 11th round pick, who spent five years at a D2 school as a Division II as a two-way player, and see that we can turn him
yeah.
into a top pitching prospect that we can trade for Tarek Skubal. Or Brady Smith, who was like not a big name in high school that they could draft in the third round and turn him into a major piece. They did not trade 10 players for Skubal. They got these three guys in very different ways and were able to turn that into maybe the best pitcher on the planet. Maybe for 2 months, maybe for a whole lot longer. That's a different conversation, but it was a remarkable achievement and also something that I totally understand everyone being really frustrated.
Last thing I'll say before we send it to break for you folks watching on Yahoo Sports Network. I think this makes me more excited for the playoffs. Is it imposing?
Gosh,
is it horrifying? Is it dispiriting a little bit? Yeah, maybe. Guess what? I can't wait to see this.
This is entertainment, folks. All right, if you're watching on Yahoo Sports Network, we're going to take a quick break. If you're still watching on YouTube, leave some comments because we're about to look at those right now. We'll be right back here. Let's take a break. All right. If you are tuning in on YouTube, thank you so much. We're going to stay on for about another 20 minutes. Let's look at some of your YouTube comments.
Was hoping Buster, Posey, not Baxter, could have offloaded one of Chapman, Devers, or Adames. That is fair. I do think this is a time to note. Buster Posey had a nice day.
I don't know how much we're going to talk about it here. We'll do some winners and losers here coming back after break, but it does not excuse how bad the Giants have been this season or how bad they've been for now several seasons. I like what San Francisco did today. Why did the Braves do nothing? This is a good question. They didn't do nothing. Lane Thomas is good and helpful. They also acquired other baseball players who I'm forgetting. They traded Joey Bart to the White Sox.
Bailey Falter.
Bailey Falter in the same
Tyler
trade.
Tyler Mahle is the main one.
Tyler Mahle. Well, there's the problem. You just said the sentence, Tyler Mahle is the main one. So, yeah, and I think that's a fair question. Feels like the Mariners, more on Braves and losers, feels like the Mariners really needed that bullpen cherry on top just like last year. Amen to that. I am disappointed. I've been saying on Seattle radio the whole season, there's really no excuse for the Mariners not to add a reliever or two or three.
They got one.
Yes, they got Sir Anthony Dominguez. I think that that is a good move and he will help, but I think that they needed more and I'm not feeling awesome about that. Mariners had that theory crafted. Call Cade Anderson and Sloan to be bullpen arms move. I guess they could still do that. I do not expect that to be the case. Definitely not Cade Anderson. I think if he's coming up, he will be a starter. Sloan is a really interesting one because you could imagine him just throwing as hard as he can in relief, like in the postseason, would be awesome. Is that what you want to do with like a 20-year-old who like could be a like that just feels risky, so I'm not sure about that.
There's a reason teams don't really do that anymore.
Yes, we got one more comment before we come back. Nope, no, we don't. All right, we are going to come back from break, and welcome back if you're watching on the Yahoo Sports Network. Thank you again if you're tuning in on YouTube, on X, we still call it Twitter, Facebook, wherever else you're watching. We appreciate it. The deadline passed 42 minutes ago. We will remain here for another 15 minutes. And we talked about Skubal again. He's going to make his Dodgers debut against the Cubs tomorrow. So I'm sure we will talk at length about Skubal on Wednesday's show. But there is one big move that we have not talked about nearly enough on today's show. And that is the Adley Rutschman trade.
All right.
Oh, Jake's going to try to get out of here. No, stay right there. Stay right there.
I have to talk about it?
Jake has to talk about it.
Okay, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Let's go long on Adley here, and then we'll do winners and losers before we say goodbye. All right. This is a shocking decision. This is a shocking decision for both teams. And that is why we're going to discuss this at length. Because as you mentioned earlier, Adley Rutschman, while his name started to float out there because the Orioles were clearly willing to offload some pieces, major league pieces, He is under contract only for next season, and it doesn't seem like they've been able to make progress on an extension.
Yeah.
But even that, when Mike Elias has been asked about Adley Rutschman, he has been pretty consistent saying things along the lines of, we want him here, saying things along the lines of, like, he's one of the best things we have.
He's a big part of this.
Is Adley Rutschman. He's a big part of this. And of course, he's a big part of this because he was the first overall pick. He is a catcher. And if you have a catcher who is an all-star, and we're going to talk about in a second just how good is Adley Rutschman. It's just such a good thing to build around, especially when you have the defensive impact that Adley provides.
Yeah.
Not to mention the clubhouse impact and just like...
Sure.
He means so much to this era. And while they obviously were not able to accomplish what they set out to accomplish when they drafted him, moving on from him in a season where you're not really that far out of it and you still have him under team control for next year, it was going to require quite the offer. And the Red Sox did put together quite the offer. But before we get to that offer, let's talk more about what this really means for Baltimore and why this is still a fairly embarrassing sequence of events, even if they are going to be rewarded with B-plus or an A-plus in their trade return, which we can get to in a second.
I just have too many thoughts. Can you ask me like a definitive question?
Why are Orioles fans probably not feeling very good right now? If you're an Orioles fan, you can tell us in the chat that you disagree. But why, and as someone who, your family's Orioles fans and you grew up an Orioles fan.
Well, like, so let me start there.
Sure.
Today felt like the last gasp of my Orioles fandom. Now, part of that is because now that we work in the industry, I view myself in as objective, as an objective
different perspective
operator. The players wearing black and orange are no better or more moral beings than the players wearing black and red or whatever. Adley Rutschman meant something to me.
Yeah.
Where after the Orioles leaped into the rebuild in the end of 18 and into 19. Dove into the darkness. Rutschman was the hope that it would one day be better. And that hope came true. He led the Orioles to playoff appearances in 23 and 24. 100 wins. For it to end this way is so weird. It's so bizarre, more than anything else. And did the Orioles win this trade in a vacuum? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't play baseball in a vacuum, friends. You just don't. And
play baseball at Camden Yards in front of your fans.
In front of not enough fans, but I think that's a relevant point. The Orioles have not been in the top half of attendance since 2015.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And the part of that is like there is so much tension between the front office and the fan base, in part because the front office keeps saying, oh yeah, we understand we're working a little bit ruthlessly and efficiently, but just trust us. And they have not earned that trust. And that's what hurts about this, is that trading Adley makes sense for a number of reasons. Here's why trading Adley makes sense. How good is Adley Rutschman? Maybe not that good. He ranks like 20th among catchers in a bunch of categories over the last 2 years. He's been on the IL 5 times over the last 14 months.
Heard in every possible way.
Free agent at the end of next season, a season that might not really happen. Samuel Basayo is under contract for 8 years. Plays catcher and is really good. They got a haul and a half from the Red Sox. All of those things make sense. I get that. That every Orioles fan understands all of those various dynamics. This is an admission of failure, is what this is. Trading Adley is saying, we did not get the job done while this guy was here. That, more than anything else, more than the return, is a bummer. And I think that today, Orioles fans feel worse about being an Orioles fan. They feel worse about the organization than they did yesterday. And I'm sure there are people sitting in the Orioles executive front offices who probably won't see this, maybe you will, saying, okay, Jake, but we like the players we got back. That might be true. Guess what? You do not have the benefit of the doubt anymore. And for the Adley Rutschman era to end without a single playoff victory is an embarrassment and a failure and an indictment of Mike Elias at the helm of this team.
I am fascinated by the benefit of the doubt because you could say, won 101 games, won the division, went to the playoffs again the next year. In some ways, it's worse because you did get there and then have just like slowly fallen in the wrong direction through all these weird ways, and some of which is, frankly, players like Adley
sure,
not staying at the same level, not taking the steps forward. There's a lot of reasons why the Orioles have kind of fallen back into this position, but I totally agree with you. And it's just weird. And honestly, now the conversation shifts in terms of this flavor of conversation, now just shifts to Gunnar, right? I mean, in terms of winning in the Gunnar era, now they, yes, they signed Pete Alonso, whatever. That's a different thing. By the way, reportedly, they were also considering trading Jackson Holliday, which, like, I don't even know what to make of that. That would have been another first overall pick that could have been traded, which would have been really strange. But I do agree with you that they just still have, yes, you did just trade for a bunch of awesome prospects who I could talk about here briefly.
Don't.
But like, I still agree with your main point, which is that they have to earn the fans' trust back because these last couple of years have just been so dispiriting.
And that is why this is a very hilarious lose-lose trade in my mind. That the Red Sox, credit to Boston for going for it. There is an element about Craig Breslow's behavior here.
Yeah.
Breslow, who is the chief baseball officer of the Red Sox, who received so much criticism from us over the last couple of years for being cautious and passive and conservative and robotic. And he has almost turned that and been like, you want me to just be cool GM guy?
And
yeah.
Who cares about these prospects? We get this from Sean McAdam, a fantastic beat writer for the Boston Red Sox, who gets this from another evaluator from another team. Quote, I'm absolutely dumbfounded by this. This is literally one of the most ridiculous trades I've seen in 30 years. Now, presumably this is someone who does not value Adley Rutschman very highly.
Sure.
And is looking at this package of the two first and third round picks from the Red Sox last year, Kyson Witherspoon and Anthony Ianson. Anthony Ianson, who is now, I think, universally considered a top 5 to 10 pitching prospect in baseball.
Absolutely.
And Witherspoon, who was just a first rounder last year, who could very easily become a top pitching prospect in baseball. Andy Azokar, a 19-year-old outfielder, one of the most productive teenage hitters in the minors. And they get Carlos Narvaez back, who I do love as a defensive-minded backup pairing with Bisaccia. Like, yeah. I think that that's great. So you got a lot of stuff there, which is really good. Now, but for the Red Sox, what this move tells, let's focus on them here, okay?
Yeah.
And also trading away Marcelo Meyer for Eric Miller, a left-handed reliever who's
got
good stuff. But that's like, imagine hearing that 3 months ago, let alone a year ago, right? Craig Breslow's saying, we just went 21-4 in July. We just swept the Dodgers in L.A. Yeah, we fired Alex Cora in April, and we were a total laughingstock, and everyone was you know, making fun of me and us and saying, fire Breslow and sell the team. Why can't we win the American League? Why not? Let's go for it. This is a move. This is a, we think we can win the World Series, or at least go to the World Series
move.
That is what this move says. And I will say, while you can debate how good Adley Rutschman is, I totally can understand talking yourself into that. Acquiring the all-star catcher that can impact you on both sides of the ball, a weak spot for them this season, and add in the fact that your two main competitors have been desperate for catching help and did not upgrade, the Yankees and the Rays. Yes, Liam Hicks is an upgrade, but like, that's not the same thing. All of that is why I am not surprised they could talk themselves into this. And yet it is pretty wild to watch Breslow act with this level of by GM standards, Pobo standards, recklessness.
It's like, hey, can you be cool, man? Yeah, let me drink 25 beers. Woo! If you're a Sox fan, I think you should feel pretty good today.
I think the idea
that the front office is finally operating as if they really want to win.
He said it after trading for Chris Meade.
But you can say it. This is doing it.
He did it twice today.
And like, it is a change in approach based upon feedback. And if you're a Sox fan, you should feel fired up. We could all die in a year. Who knows? Live today.
We should. I mean, I would feel like a level of whiplash and like kind of nausea.
Who is this guy?
These last few years have been.
Like, is Craig Breslow going to get an earring?
But I'm fired up to go like, to Fenway Park, you know?
Like, is he going to have a face tattoo?
Yeah, right. Like, I'm not. Man,
if Craig Breslow is wearing skinny jeans and Jordans at the yard.
I love this. So anyway, that's great. Okay, so
forget a midlife crisis, midseason crisis.
I will say, as we transition to winners and losers of the deadline here, like if you're just plugging in the trade values, maybe you wouldn't say Boston, but screw it, we're having fun. Red Sox winners. You got better. You've probably had your fans. Yes, you will have your fans who care about prospects that are like, oh my god, what are we doing?
Sure.
But and you might say, are we really a World Series contender? Who cares? You've been along for a heck of a ride this year, and now you're going to keep flying high.
Winner for me. Los Angeles Angels.
operating like a normal freaking organization. They had things to sell. They sold them. They got good players back. Love getting Moises Ballesteros for the Cubs, from the Cubs, in exchange for Ryan Zevergiun, a reliever. Love that move for them. They held on to Detmers and Neto, pieces that they think can get better. Their values can get higher. Love what the Angels did. Love what the Jays did.
Sure. I mean, for them to part with the two obvious rentals in Gausman and Varsho, because the pitchers and Springer were just more complicated, so sure. I'm not going to hold them to that. Trading Hoffman is a little weird. We didn't even mention the top guy they got back in that deal from Minnesota, Dason Hill. Love that guy. Like, they needed pitching sure. in their system. I like that deal. And Soriano, like, and Spencer right. Arrighetti. Like, those are pitchers that can really help their rotation next year when they clearly needed arms.
The 2026 Jays are worse today. The 2027 team just got a whole lot better. And that should be encouraging for the Jays fans. That, like, this organization sees itself competing next year. The Jays fly to the top of the list of organizations that really hope next season doesn't get canceled. Two more winners.
Yep.
The Giants.
Giants. I just think that this farm system over the last couple of years has gone from desolate, uninspiring to just like kind of loaded. I love their draft this year. I love the trades that they made. Buying low on Marcelo Meyer, who isn't technically a prospect anymore, but still a really exciting sure. young talent. I just think that, again, doesn't excuse how bad they are on the field in the major league level. Still a ton of questions going into next season. But I think that they did what they could. Considering the situation, love what the Giants did.
Last team that's a winner, the Tampa Bay Rays. Mm-hmm. Going out and getting Freddie Peralta, getting Liam Hicks. The Rays have done a bunch Tyler of weird stuff at the deadline over the last number of years. They've been in the middle trying to thread a needle. This year, they understood that they were buyers, and they bought. They that's didn't get too funky with it. Let's fly through the losers before we get out of here. Jordan, finish. You're a winner, finish but I'm a loser.
Finish on a losing note.
Losers. Mets. They've been losing all year. What's new?
I just, especially in contrast to the Giants as like the two obvious sellers with stuff to move, I liked some of the prospects that they got, but it did not feel like, sure. man, they restocked the system in a way that I really do think that the Giants did.
Milwaukee Brewers.
Just come on. Again, contrast to the Rays. Opportunity there. Don't just roll over and say, like, we have no chance against the Dodgers anyway. Why even bother trying? Come on. Come on.
We just did this.
Just at least try. At least give it a chance. The Blue Jays did put up a fight. If it goes a different way and Mizorowski just throws a no-hitter, you do. Yeah. I'm not going to say you have no chance because of what happened last year. I wish they did more. Atlanta, same thing. I would have expected Anthopoulos to be way more aggressive, and he just wasn't. And then I guess the Yankees fall into that same category. Did they get better? More better, great English, than the Brewers and the Braves? Yes, because I think Luis Garcia is awesome. But did they address needs? Kind of not really. And with how much better Boston and Tampa got, I think you have to put the Yankees in losers.
Last loser, Orioles fans.
Yeah.
Are the Orioles a loser? I don't know.
No.
That's a different conversation.
No.
Orioles fans, it is a weird day. The promise of a brighter tomorrow has been promised once again in a different fashion.
There are surely teams, players, trades that we did not talk enough about on this trade deadline special. The good news is that our podcast will continue. Our podcast will persevere sure. forward. The baseball will continue to be played. In fact, they're playing baseball right now. The Nationals and Phillies are playing right now.
Oh, we'll watch that.
So we're going to go do some writing. Thank you all for tuning in wherever you tuned in. Thank you to all of our wonderful producers here in the Yahoo Studios for making this show possible. Make sure you're subscribed to the Yahoo Sports MLB YouTube channel. We'll be back on Wednesday to react in full and probably talk more about Tarek Skubal.
Studio won't be as nice as this. And look, this is how I'm going to finish the show, Jordan. The Dodgers trading Tarek Skubal does not ruin the season.
Or Tarek Skubal. Did they trade Tarek Skubal? No, sorry. They didn't trade him before.
You get my point.
Yeah.
Skubal being on the Dodgers does not ruin the season. Make sure you tune in. Thank you all for watching. We will chat very soon.